It's been such a joy to really go through the book of Hebrews. And, you know, summertime is the way it is, and so some of you are away and some are not. But for me and for Linda, developing the messages and spending the time in the book of Hebrews, it's been so rich for us and for us personally. So the thing is, hopefully you get the benefit of listening to the Word of God, but for us, being studying the Word of God, and putting it together, what a blessing! You have no idea how blessed we are as pastors to be able to come into an environment like this during the week when it's very, very peaceful. Go into my office or come in here and kneel at the altar and begin to pray, and then just allow the Word of God to come alive within your spirit. You know what? I never take that for granted. It's always a privilege. It's always an honor to open up the Word of God. It's always a humble honor to serve the body of Christ in our city. Did you know that yesterday that Linda and I, we are actors now? And we were asked by Terry's Diner to be part of a commercial. And it was like a professional setup, you know. They had like cameras and a director and everything, and they had us. It took 3.5 hours, and we were there, and cameras zooming in as we were eating. We weren't allowed to look at the camera, and so we were like talking, and it was quite an experience. So it's fun. So you'll see that on Facebook, you know, and you know, it'll keep popping up, and then for these guys here, I just looked on my phone today. I use a journal. It's called Day One Journal. And on my journal for today, because I journal life. How many of you journal life? It's probably a really wonderful practice to do. And on my phone, on today, 1 year ago today, was the opening of Mr. Poncho. And so I have pictures. Yeah. So I have, you can't see them, but I have pictures here of us standing on in front of the restaurant, and we were all holding hands, and we were praying, and then we cut the ribbon, and so 1 year. And you know, that's a big accomplishment in the restaurant industry, because not everyone makes it to 1 year. And for you to be one of the most popular spots in all of North Bay, I tip my hat to you. And just watching you, the way you've done it, I've learned how to be a better leader and to organize just watching the way you do it, because it's a lot of work. Amen. So congratulations, you two, for that, it's really good. Anyone here, it's hard enough when you have to go to work and work for somebody, but when you have the responsibility of running your own business, and there's a few of you that do that, wow, it's a lot of responsibility. So how many of you ran track in school? Let's see, hands. You ran track. You know, isn't it good? And, you know, and I ran a bit of track, mostly the 50-yard dash. I was very fast on that 50-yard dash. After that, it was just a... But I ran, and how many of you have ever played games or sports that part of the activity of that game or that team would be winning a prize? Okay, and so, you know, like, I used to play Monopoly with my mom and Linda, and they would always cry because I always won the prize. And the prize that I won was seeing them cry because they always lost. And so the thing is, that was that. And so the message, the scriptures that Linda read this morning for us are some of the most stirring scriptures or verses in all of the Bible. Because, and I say that every week about every verse that I preach, because they're all so amazing, but this is a really good one, because it really pertains to us. It's a passage written for the purpose of stirring us to run and keep on running this Christian race of life. And how many of you know that it's a race? And how many of you know that you need to be determined? And how many of you know you have to be disciplined? And how many of you know all of these things? And it's a race to run. It can be described in many ways. It's a race for heaven. It's a race for life. It's a race for eternal life with both God and forever, forever, ever. And it's the greatest Christian race. And it's our greatest goal. Now, I like goals. How many of you like to set goals? I like to set goals, and I like to accomplish something. I like to have a goal. I'd like to be able to measure it to see if I've executed my plan, to see if I've reached my goal. Do you like that? If you don't know how to do that, come and see me. I'll help you set some goals and so you could accomplish. But I like setting goals. And the Christian race is the best goal. It's the greatest goal that we could ever have. Some people don't get that. Some Christians don't get that. But it's the greatest goal that we could ever have is running this race of Christianity. It really, truly is. It's the most exciting. It's the best race. It's the most honoring race. We're into the presence of God. It's incredible. And when you get that into your spirit, and it becomes alive within your spirit, so that it's not like you're listening to some teacher giving you a textbook explanation of what you're supposed to know in the Bible. But when it gets into your spirit and you begin to run that race, and you begin to run that race, and then you're with brothers and sisters around you that are running that race, and we're running that race together. Oh my goodness, does that take your, it takes my breath away just thinking about it. Like that, he allows us to run the race right into his holiness. And he embraces us with his holiness. And he holds you dear, no matter what the circumstances that you're going through. And he says, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. You know, that's the race. That is awesome. I cannot make people here believe that any more than you already do. I could encourage it. I could pray for you. But that race is your race. And my prayer is that you will capture that so deep within your spirit that when you get up in the morning, you have such a skip in your walk. I don't care how old you are, you will jump out of bed and you'll hold your whole body up with one arm and you will click your feet in the air. And I'm saying, I'm thankful to be alive today. Lord, who can I speak into today? Lord, who could I invest you into today through my lips? Because, Lord, this morning I practice filters on my lips so that only the fruit of the Spirit will come through these lips into the hearts of the people that I speak to. It's running the race. It's running the race. And it's a great race. And if we endure to the end of this race, we will be escorted. I like that word, escorted. Have you ever been escorted into anything? Anyone? Some of you got married. Your father escorted you down the aisle, or your mother, or sometimes it's all different. But have you ever been escorted into something? You know what? The thing is, we will be escorted into the presence of God if we faithfully run the race. Escorted. You know, Mr. Arndt, would you just allow me to escort you into the presence of God the Father, please? Wow. You know, some of us, we go through life and we say, nobody respects me. No one appreciates me. No one values me. My opinion, I'm so lonely. Nobody cares what I have to say. On that day when you run the race, you will be escorted into the presence of a holy God. And all of a sudden, everything that you want to spew out, he will just listen like an awesome, awesome father. So the point of these verses, they demand our attention because the benefits of these verses are incredible. So what happens is they demand our attention. It's a great race. It says in the scripture, the inspiration of this great race is a cloud of witnesses. The picture is that of a race, the scene of a Colosseum filled to capacity with spectators, the great cloud, and the race is about to begin. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? I'm getting excited. The race is about to begin. The scene is a Colosseum, as I said, it's about to begin. And the great cloud of witnesses is composed of the people that are described in chapter 11 of Hebrews. And that's the great cloud, and they're watching all of us to to see if we will run the race. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is called the heroes of chapter 11. They're heroes of the faith. There's people that we could read and we could learn from, and that our faith could be built up, because, oh my goodness, do we need faith in this day? Do we need faith in this day? Okay, and not blind faith, real faith. Their faithfulness is a constant encouragement to us. Their witness stirs us to run. Also, two quick instructions are given in this race. Get rid of all the excess weight and any entanglements, and run, and run, and keep running. Get rid of the excess weight. You'll see me sometimes over the years, what happens is, do you realize that sometimes when we're about to preach or we're listening for what the Spirit of God is doing here, that there's warfare that goes on? Do you realize that sometimes when you've been in here and you just don't kind of know what's real, you're feeling something but you're not sure, and I'm sensing warfare, okay, in the house, and you know what? Devil, you're not getting near these people, because I know these people. I pray for these people. These people here have had, some of these people have had a hard week. Some of these people have carried some heavy, heavy burdens. And you know what? Try it. You're not getting in here. Okay, and you'll see me walking back and forth, and I'm just like this. How many of you have seen me over the years? I'm going like this. I'm giving it away. Getting rid of any excess weight. Okay, not only on myself, but on you too. Excess weight, out, 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 out. And for us to run the race, each of us, we have to get rid of the excess weight. Okay, each of us, whether it's going like this or doing something, we have to get rid of that excess weight that bogs us down, because what we're doing is we're missing the presence of a holy God. And when you taste of the real presence of a holy God, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Amen? And as you run, remember Jesus. Just remember Jesus. Pastor Bob, my hero, he says, Ken, read the red. How many times have you heard me say that? Read the red. I think I've used Pastor Bob more as an illustration and messages over the years than any other person in my life. And I only knew him for a few months when I first got saved. And he says, one thing to do, son, he says, always read the red. And I keep going back, read the red, read the red, read the red. And as you run this race, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. The crowd, the heroes of Hebrews chapter 11, they have run the race and they have finished the race. Enduring to the end and winning. That's why this is so important. Therefore, they are witnesses and they are examples to us. But they are not only participants, they are also spectators in it. And they actually witness our race and our performance. And they are virtually interested in how each of us run the race. Did you know that in the spirit world, in the presence of a holy God, there are people who are really, really God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, that are really seriously concerned how you run the race? Really? And so the point is, the great cloud of witnesses surrounds and envelops us. Witnesses who believed God and stood fast for God. They stood fast for God against all trials and temptations and opposition. The great faith and endurance should stir us, and it should inspire us to believe and endure in our faith. They never buckled or crumbled under their faith or in their faith. They never buckled in it. Oh, I'm sure hard stuff came, but they didn't buckle. We can't buckle. No matter what, we can't buckle. Life is hard. I know. Okay, you're probably thinking to yourself, yeah, well, you come in here and like you just said, you could go into your office or you could come here and you can kneel down and you could pray for us, but you have no idea what my life is like, where I have to go to work and the people that I have to deal with and everything. It doesn't matter. They had hard people to deal with and they did not buckle. Amen. They endured against trials, against problems, trouble, suffering, loss, hunger, disease, persecution, threat. No matter how terrible or awful the trial was, they endured in faith, believing God and His glorious promises, running the race. I know it's not easy to get there. I know that. Okay? But I'm telling you, if you begin to run that race, nothing's going to take you out. I promise. And I want you on my team. If you have the attitude that you were going to run the race, I want you on your team, because we're going to get the prize, because nothing's going to take us out, because we're going to run together. And you know what, Marlene, I think maybe I could run a little bit longer and farther than you, okay? But I'm telling you, if we're running together, you'll have your arm around my shoulder, and we're running together, and we're crossing the finish line together. Amen? We're going to do it. Girls, I'm telling you, we're going to run together, okay? We're going to run together. They endured against great trials, against all sorts of things. They endured against opposition. No matter the opposition, they believed God and they endured endurance. They are required disciplines for the race. You know what bugs me? Can I tell you what bugs me? I run a healthy lifestyle group on Facebook. It's a closed group, but there's about 40 of us that are in there. And once in a while, the word discipline comes up. Like, you know, you need to discipline yourself to do something. And more often than not, you know, in private conversation, people think that, well, I have to discipline myself. And they think like, well, I have to give something up. Disciplining yourself is not giving something up. It's adding more and more and more. And when we discipline ourselves in this great race, we're not giving up something so that we could run with God. What we're doing is we're adding everything so that we could win the race. So discipline is not a word where it's like, oh my goodness, I have to discipline myself. I have to give everything up. I don't think that way. So if I live a healthy lifestyle, we've been on a 14-day fast of sugar. My goodness, my energy is like going through the roof right now. I just want to run the race. I didn't give up anything. I did not deprive myself because I didn't have ice cream. I gained everything because I feel like I could lead an aerobics class right now. I didn't give up anything. Amen. So when we discipline ourselves in the things of God, we are not giving up anything. We are adding and we are adding and we are adding. It's, you know what? We have to change sometimes the way we think. Discipline is not a bad word. And there are required disciplines for this race. And we must lay aside every weight and every sin that easily entraps us. We have to lay it aside. It's not okay to continue to say, well, you know what, it's only a little white sin, or you know what, I'm really sorry that I'm doing it today, and then go back into the same lifestyle, because you know what happens is there's things, even good things, not all things are bad, but even good things that are not good for you. In themselves, it's not bad. But if it holds us captives from running the race and being in His presence, then it's not good, and we have to lay those things aside. The words lay aside means to take off, to strip off, to remove as taking off clothes. Don't do that here. Okay? But it's taking off things. And all serious athletes, right? All serious athletes, they train and they strain to remove all the excess weight, all the stuff. And this refers to even things, like I said, that may even be legitimate. What kind of things may they be? Maybe seeking entertainment instead of worshiping and fellowshipping with God. Man, how much I love entertainment. Hockey's coming on right now. I have to discipline myself, you know? Like, they signed Marner yesterday to 10.8 million. The guy's 20 years old, I think. $10.8 million. And for 6 years. So we have them in, so you know. So this could distract your pastor. Okay? Saturday night hockey is on. I love hockey. Okay? But I love Jesus more than I love the Maple Leafs. Amen. And I could easily get distracted by the hockey, especially now. Well, now they don't go into overtime. But I remember as a kid, they double overtime Saturday night, and it'd be like, you wake up like this in the morning. Can you imagine if I came in here? Oh, I'm so tired. I didn't get to bed till 2 o'clock. Don't talk too loud. Hey, let's just be calm down here this morning. You know, don't be so excited this morning. Relaxation is needed. Amen? We all need to relax. How many of you had a good relaxing summer? I did. I loved it. Put the fireplace on. You guys have your fireplace on. It's so nice. It wasn't? Oh, I'm sorry. But you know what? Relaxation is needed. But the problem is that most of us, we relax too much. We do. How many of you have a favorite chair that you spend at least 2 or 3 hours in every day? Come on, you know? We relax too much. And so what happens is too many do not even know how to spend time with God. Like, really? It took, just because I got called into the ministry, it's not all of a sudden that I figured it out, how to spend time with God. I had to learn that over the years. Now, after all of these years, I know how to spend time with the Lord. You know what I mean? Like, I could lie down right here on this floor for an hour and just bask in His presence and stuff like this. It used to be that I'd spend 5 minutes with Him. It was just like, okay, then now what? You know? So even listening to stuff that does not build you up, our spirit, I'm not one of these guys who says, get rid of all your stuff. I'm just saying, you know what happens is the Christian runner must do exactly like the Olympic runner does. Strain to remove all the excess weight. Olympians, we are Olympians for Jesus Christ this morning. We must strip all the unnecessary stuff. Each of us must ask the question, what is the sin that so easily entraps me? Think about that this morning and be honest with yourself. What is the sin that would be so easily entrap you? What is the sin that would so easily entrap you? Would it be lust? Would it be anger? Would it be what is it? We need to run the race and we need to pat each other on the back. Each of us must ask this question, whether it's pleasure or indulgence, the tongue. You know, I read a psalm the other day, and it was just like, and I'm thinking like, man, I got to learn how to put filters on my mouth. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes we say things so unfiltered, and it's just not right. You know what I mean? I want to run the race. I want the words that come from my mouth to be fruitful, to be honoring, to be respectful, not full of any pride or anything else. So what consumes my energy and keeps me from following God fully, that trips me up far too often? We must run with patience. The word patience, steadfast, perseverance, that is not a passive word. Patience is not a passive word. It's an active word. It is not the spirit that just sits back and we put up with the trials of life, taking what may come. Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." And the supreme example of this Christian race is Jesus Christ. Amen. Believers have trusted God and endured their faith. Amen. Amen. He is good. Jesus is our great inspiration. Jesus is our supreme example. Jesus Christ is everything. Could I have my relay team get into position, please? And we'll close on this morning. We are in this race together. Amen. We are in this race together. And we are on the same team. Amen. Dorothy says, I'm running the race. Amen. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Let's run the race together. Dorothy will be 98 years old in December. And I love you so much. And thank you for being an example to this house of someone running the race. I salute you, I honor you, and I love you. Would anyone like the Bible that we just ran the race with? You put up your hand, anyone? Anyone in need of a Bible this morning? Amen. I'm running the race. Here you go, daughter. Let's stand together and close in a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful this morning that we have the opportunity to run the race, together, to honor you, to honor each other. I pray, Lord, really a blessing upon each one as we internalize, Lord, what we have heard today. And Lord, we get and we just clean off the stuff that needs to be cleaned off so that we could run the race, so that we can get the prize of being in your holiness. So Father, I pray for every single person here this morning. And I pray, Lord, as I said at the beginning of the message, that Lord, you would just wrap your arms around each one who needs it today, and even those who sense they don't. And Lord, that they would just feel a hug from a holy Father, and a deep, deep hug, deep within their spirit. Father, I pray for any hurts that are represented here today. I pray for any deep, deep hurts. I pray for fears. I pray for all of these things. And I ask, Lord, that they would be not only lifted, but Lord, that you would give us the strength to run the race, that we would run the race in spite of those things. And so, Father, I pray your healing hand, your healing touch, your blessing touch upon each one here. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.